Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. And once again, if you still have any listeners after going through the world's worst... Carl, did you hear the world's worst trivia competition?
Were you listening, Carl, on your way in?
Were you listening on your way in?
I did not catch the question today.
You would have turned around. You wouldn't have come in.
No. Well, I'm glad that I still made it and didn't hear it.
But we're going to make up for it because we have a comedian coming on later.
Yeah.
So.
By the way, this is kind of fascinating here. You went to both Pepperdine and Syracuse.
I did.
Okay, let me just say one thing.
Right.
I've been to Malibu in the spring. Most beautiful place I've ever been. I've been to Syracuse, New York in February.
Yeah.
If I had a choice between one of those two, how did you make that decision?
It's night and day, right? But I got to go West Coast.
Although good
East Coast.
Italian restaurants in Syracuse,
very
New
good.
York.
Yes. Good barbecue too. It's kind of what they're known for. But I got to go West Coast, East Coast. I got to experience the beautiful summers and then the snowy winter. It was great though. Syracuse, it's a little snowier than here, I'd say, but maybe not quite as cold.
Okay, that's just, you can't find two universities further
apart.
Opposite. Right? Why would you leave Pepperdine?
For the broadcast journalism at Syracuse.
Yeah, that's a great program.
And running. They also, I was a cross-country and track athlete, so they paid for my grad school to get to run at an ACC school. So those two things, the school and the running, that helped.
So that's phenomenal.
Where were you born and raised? Like, where's your...
Northern California, so about 6 hours north of Pepperdine in the valley, east of San Francisco.
Cool.
Where?
Stockton, so home of the University of the Pacific for those that know about the West Coast Conference.
Is Jordan Love from Stockton? He's from that area, isn't he?
No, he's not.
Okay.
But Aaron Rodgers is from the north of Sacramento.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's similar valley, similar region.
Okay, very cool.
That's awesome, part of the country. I'm glad. And what? How did you get here? This is like...
No, he's right in the middle. One.
I came for work, but my mom's family's from the Midwest, so she's from northwest of Chicago. So I don't feel quite out of my element here in the Midwest.
That's awesome. Carl Winter, NBC 26 Neighborhood Focus.
Right, he doesn't feel out of his element. This is so much like Pepperdine, right, Johnny?
Yeah, exactly.
Malibu.
When I look at the coal piles,
that's right.
I haven't seen something like this since Malibu.
Exactly. Yeah, right. The Bay, Green Bay, Pacific Ocean, same thing.
Right.
I remember one time they came up here and played basketball, though, and I was talking to you about that a little bit. And I'll never forget, it's like one of those just crazy snowstorms, and it was over at the old Brown County Arena, and hard to get into, and whatever. And I remember thinking, those poor guys must be thinking to himself, where am I? Yeah. Where am I?
It's very different, but it's a good recruiting tool down in California.
Absolutely.
That campus.
And how long have you been here?
Just about a year. Actually, almost exactly a year. I think my first day was July 17th of last year, my first day on the air or working for NBC 26.
Well, congrats. We're glad you're here, and you cover a... I really like the way your company is structured with these whole neighborhood experts, I guess. You don't call them experts. We do as viewers. But, I mean, you really get ingrained in the neighborhood. And
trust me, as a young reporter going to a city you've never been to before,
right,
that is so important that you can kind of ingratiate yourself and learn who the movers and shakers are versus, okay, today you're going to be in Menominee, Marinette. Tomorrow you're in Fond du Lac. And it takes you years to really develop those sources. I think this is cool what they're doing.
Yeah, it's helpful. It's very hyper-local. Like you say, I get to know the village leaders and the movers and shakers in these various very local spots, and they know me now. I see them every day of the week. Not that I haven't gotten to travel to Fond du Lac or Menominee or, Door County or wherever, but I do like that I really get to be the expert, the boots on the ground in these specific neighborhoods, and I think it's valuable for them, too. They know that I'm the guy to go to.
And probably that works for you to uncover a story, whereas maybe back in the day,
the contacts and everything,
read the paper and then do your story.
Yeah.
I mean, you can uncover something.
And break stories.
What do you work on?
Which you've been doing.
I've been working on a lot of stories about real estate that the Packers are, you know, buying up around Lambeau Field. So I've been, you know, talking to some local businesses there that are maybe moving away from Lambeau. Of course, a lot of draft stories when it comes to real estate and what's going on prior to the draft. In Ashwaubenon and I would say Bellevue are probably the main areas I've been covering, that kind of thing. So those have been like the common threads. And of course, doing a lot of reporting about the prison in Alloway, Green Bay Correctional, and things that are going on there or not.
What's
going on
in your neighborhood?
There are plenty of things going on, plenty of things to report on. And of course, I mean, I'm going to Milwaukee for the RNC next week. So between
they put you in the politics too, huh?
Oh yeah. Everything. I mean, I enjoy covering that. So that'll be an interesting trip.
That will
be
a fun trip. I mean, those conventions, that's going to be awesome. And that, it's funny, you're going to have people that you
can't... Is there a lot of partying at those things? You never know it when you see these people.
It's funny covering that because there's people that you're going to want to talk to, and then there's a lot of people that are going to want to talk to you.
Right.
You know, yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is. Well, that's great. That'll be a fun convention. And I'm glad it's here in Milwaukee. I mean, we don't talk a lot of politics on this show, but we're a swing state. You know,
right.
2 points, 1 point, 3 points. And
yeah. And for us, I don't think that like people here in Northeast Wisconsin necessarily care that much that it's in Milwaukee. So like, I don't necessarily think I'll be covering like protesters and supporters and things like that. It'll be more, what are the delegates from here doing? What are they planning to do there? How does their platform fit in up here? So we'll try to make it relevant to our viewers. Well, we've got other people will cover, you know, the national side of it.
Right. But on the business side of it, which you cover, I mean, you said the Packers, you know, when you say the draft, it's not who's being drafted. You cover the economics of the draft. And with the RNC convention, you're talking about some of the economics. And did they get the bars? Are their bars open till 4?
They are. They are. Yes. Okay. And they seem, most
in
of
Milwaukee?
Them seem excited about it.
Because Green Bay turned it down, right?
No. Green Bay lobbied for it. Is it? Are they open till 4 in Green Bay for the draft? Has that been approved?
No, I think it's been turned down.
Yeah. But Milwaukee got it because they had it for the DNC, right?
Yes, and they do have it for the RNC. And, yeah. And it seems most of the bars are happy about it. Some are closed for the entire week at a protest, but most are, you know, excited to serve people for until 4
right.
next week.
I'll tell you what, you have to have some really strong political loyalty if you got a bunch of crazy delegates coming in and you close your bar.
Yeah,
wow.
There was one I heard about that did that. I don't know if there's more than one.
Cha-ching.
But it's a lot of money you're turning down.
Wow.
Wow. I come from that world of more the business entrepreneurial. And I mean, there's certain things, but politics, I mean, that's just what it is. You know, that's not like you're... death penalty stuff. I mean, that's just a bunch of partiers that are going to talk about stuff maybe you're not that interested in, but who cares as long as they're paying.
Right.
I didn't know that somebody was in out of protest turning away, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I guess it's one of the ones that's located very close to Fiserv, and it's going to be chaotic down there for sure next week. So we'll see how it goes. But
owned by the Biden family. Anyway.
What do you think about the... First of all, two things that Jim brought up. Number one, what do you think about the Packers buying up all this property? Is this just the tip of the iceberg? Is this going to continue? And what do you see so far with preparations of the... I know you had a thing about, you know, with the map and everything. What do you think about preparations with where they're at right now?
Well, I certainly think it's going to continue. Like, if you look at, like, satellite maps of land they've bought up over the years, like, not just for parking lots, but now I think it's extending more southeast of the stadium. Kind of where Green Bay Distillery is, south of the practice fields. The question remains what they plan to do with that land. They've been very tight-lipped about it with me, and I feel like I have a pretty good relationship with them, but they still, they're holding it close to the chest, and it will be a long, drawn-out process. Some of the land they bought, like there's a BP gas station near the stadium that is still going to be selling gas until 2030.
Right.
So the Packers don't have, like, a super short-term plan for it. And I think it's just kind of a domino effect of one by one, they're picking up these properties, and then maybe in the future it ends up being another practice field, or it ends up being a bigger facility, or the title town of the east side of the stadium. I'm not sure. They don't pay me to speculate here. So we'll see. But I certainly think it's the tip of the iceberg. As far as the draft goes, though, I think that they're close to locking in that the draft stage will be at the corner of Oneida and Lombardi, facing the stadium. And in terms of how big the footprint is, we don't know yet. I imagine it will take up all of the parking lots around the stadium plus Titletown, and we'll see. It remains to be seen, though. I've been talking to the village of Ashwaubenon on what roads they'll close.
Let me just ask you one thing with what you said. You said facing the stadium, but would that be with Goodell's back to the stadium? So like when, you know, on the 7th selection, blah, blah, blah. How is You know what I mean? What's the structure of that, do you think?
From what we know right now, it looks like he's going to be facing the stadium. Goodell will be facing the stadium.
Right. Oh, okay, because I thought they might want it in the back. You know what I mean?
That's what I thought, too.
One would think.
Okay. But with all the, you know, drone shots and stuff, I think it'll still be TV ready. I think, actually, if you flip it, it looks cooler with all of the crowd in front and the and Lambeau behind them.
Okay.
So to our knowledge right now, Goodell and the picks will be announced facing the stadium. The back of the stage will be toward that Oneida Lombardi corner.
And as much as you work the Packers and talk to the Packers, I'm sure you realize this is an NFL event.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. they call the shots, and the Packers know. They admit that. The NFL decides all these things.
We've had Aaron Popke on here, and he just said to me and Johnny, he goes, just make no question about it. This is the NFL's event. It's their gig. It's their event. We're here to support it and do anything we can. But you may have to get a couple trips to New York.
Right, and they're good at making it look good on TV. Certainly. They've figured it out over
the
years.
Did you go to Detroit?
I did not go to Detroit, no. But I do have a contact. The NFL communications director is a Syracuse grad, so that's a good
there you go.
It's
oh, no
a
kidding.
Good person to know, and I'll try and work that relationship and see if we can get some things beforehand.
So I want to go back to the franchise. Do you think there's a master plan? Like, I always thought something, like, I get a kick out of these countries that just work on world dominance. You know, they put ports up in Africa and different places, like, we're going to control this. And do you think there's a master plan, or do you think it's just an opportunity? This came up, let's get this, let's get that.
I think it's a little bit of both. I'm sure they have a plan because it's so strategic of it's this property that like it's they're all next to each other. Do I think that they're like pressuring these people to sell? No. But when they pop up for sale, the Packers are going to be the highest bidder.
Right.
And people will buy these properties close to the stadium knowing that the Packers will then buy it. It's a real estate investment. So I think there is a long-term plan that they're holding close to the chest, but I don't necessarily think that they're trying to force people out of their businesses.
Although
homes
I will
yet.
Say this, there have been so many wild stories. I remember when I was in real estate and a guy had a for sale by owner house, and this would be behind the stadium. So this would be south of the stadium. Okay. One of those little neighborhoods, you know, Ashwaubenon. And it'd be about a $140,000 house, and we went $400,000. And I said, are you serious? He goes, oh, you didn't know him. He said, I got inside information. They're building a new practice field right here, and they're going to have the so-and-so and so-and-so. And it's just like, I think the house might still be for sale. But it's one of those things, there's been so many
rumors
and people trying
that.
To speculate, you know, be
right.
speculative on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Packers aren't giving it away, so
no.
I'm sure they've got their plans, though, and they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I want to talk about what businesses are doing in preparation for the NFL draft. I think that's interesting.
And how me and Jim can make money.
Right, that's where I was going to get to that, but I was going to try and ease into that. But Johnny said, all right,
jump
the
right
point
in.
Is, how can Johnny and I capitalize economically on the NFL draft?
How can the NFL draft affect me and Jim? That's our next topic.
It. That's the
Carl
point.
Winter, NBC 26, back right after this. And keep your hands to yourself.
Todd, did you see that? Carl was like shaking our hands goodbye. We're like,
hey, no.
You're not done. Sit down.
Like this guy was like trying to get the heck out of here.
He's like, oh man.
Let me tell you something. For our listeners' sake, it's either you or more bad trivia. So
right,
do it for the people.
I guess I'll stick around.
Take a bullet for the people. Carl Winter, NBC 26 neighborhood focus
reporter. We'll help
your
ratings. They will love that if you stick around.
Exactly.
So the NFL draft, you're covering that as well, and really not so much from who's getting drafted, who's going to be the first rounder. You're talking more of the economics, especially what's happening out in Ashwaubenon and Bellevue. What are some of the things people are talking about, seeing any infrastructure changes being done with their businesses, decks? It's an opportunity, right? We're going to have, 400,000 or 500,000 people here spending money.
Lots of places are renovating, trying to accommodate more people if they can. They're going to have to hire more for that week. But it's hard to make permanent changes for what's only a week long. But other things I've been looking at is just, what are people paying for Airbnbs and hotels during that time?
What have you heard?
Well, I did a story on a family home in Bellevue, a good 9-10 miles from the stadium, that's going for $3,500 a night during that week.
Nice.
So it's, I mean, whether they get that or not, we don't know. But that's what it's on the market for. So that'll be a big deal. How far away are people going to have to stay?
Jim and I thought we came up with a great idea the other day. Somebody must have been listening to us because it was just like announced. They're opening up some of the parks now early for people to camp.
Yes, yes. We did a story at the fairgrounds as well, I believe.
Okay.
Right.
So John Erickson was working that story
for us. We thought we came up with that idea. Yeah,
that was our idea.
Yeah, it was.
So we want to keep it a little bit quiet
here. I know.
That Airbnb is, I had said a number of times, I think everyone in Green Bay, and when I talk Green Bay, I mean Bellevue or Schwabern, they all call themselves Green Bay. Everyone in Green Bay should make an extra couple grand during the NFL draft. And like you said, there's extra help needed in busing, but not busing, driving buses, although they'll need that too. But I'm talking about busing tables at restaurants and just setting up things, taking down things. There's just a lot of economic opportunity to make some money. That Airbnb is going to be interesting. I've never done that in my life. There's a guy that does that has been on our show talking about it. He's from Madison, and
he sets the whole thing up.
And he's a turnkey guy. So I'm doing that.
Right.
I am going to make an extra 20 grand.
For sure.
Are you going to do it?
I am. I've signed a contract. And for what we get paid here, I need that 20 grand.
Todd, what the heck was that? Wow.
You just have to jump through a couple hoops to be able to do it. But otherwise, you're locked in.
Did you hear that, Todd?
No, I'm sorry. What was that?
He's talking about making extra money in the trade because what we get paid here, we need that. That's what he just said.
We're forced into Airbnb for the Packer game for the NFL draft.
Catherine, Sage, I apologize.
Those are our bosses.
The hotline is ringing.
We love Civic Media. But I think there's my point in this is that there's a lot of opportunity from the economic standpoint for people here who live here and either jobs. And I know some of these restaurants, and I understand what you said about these renovations. You know, they always tell you in business school, don't build a church for Easter Sunday. You build it now, though, and you just got to market it so you can use it every day.
Right. And I think most of the municipalities are on board. Like, they know this is a huge opportunity, even if it means locals are leaving town for the event. It's a great opportunity. Some have approached it differently, though. The village of Ashwaubenon still, has a ordinance for how many nights minimum you have to rent out your house. But it seems like they're making exceptions for the draft. They just don't want people to sell their houses to become Airbnbs,
right?
Which is a problem near the stadium, or some people think is a problem. So, but there's plenty of money to be made, plenty of money to go around during the draft.
Let me ask you this: you've lived in how many different states? Two, three now?
I've lived in three now.
Three now. What's unique about Green Bay? Because I mean, you were at, like I said, two extreme options: Syracuse, New York; Malibu, California; and now you're in the heartland, Green Bay, Wisconsin. When people from those places ask you, "What's it really like?" We see it on TV or whatever. What's it like being a part of the Green Bay community?
I think all, the festivals, parades, the culture, every small town has its own parade. I was astounded on the 4th of July. Everybody's got their own fireworks show, which isn't really as big of a deal in California, frankly. So I think, during the summer, all these community events are, really the culture of Northeast Wisconsin is how many different things you can go do and see. And then during the winter, man, I feel like as long as the Packers go, that, makes the winter a little bit shorter. So
let me tell you something you're going to learn.
There's plenty going on.
You want to know when winter starts in Green Bay?
After the Packers the Monday are eliminated.
The Monday morning after the Packers' last game, that's when you realize it's winter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I would say when you talk about the events, and you talked about the 4th, but these communities, and Johnny's done a million of these things, but you look at Memorial Day, just how many events, and everybody, that's a very proud community, and small towns, big towns, and just a lot of events. And we went to a lot of them in his job, in my previous job. But yeah, it's great. I mean, you can really get connected here quickly with awesome people.
And that is your best way to make contacts. Trust me on that one. You want to talk about boots on the ground, deal with those people, because everybody's going to know somebody whose brother-in-law works for the so-and-so, and that is the best way to do it.
Yeah. And some of our best reporting just comes up, maybe people aren't answering the phone, but just walk into a bar and ask somebody.
Absolutely.
And in the small towns, that literally works.
I made my career doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody knows. Everybody's connected to someone else.
Made your career or lost your career?
Yeah. Morning, noon, or night. Johnny
depending
was
on how
in
you
the
look
bar.
At it.
Johnny was in the bar.
I'm out reporting. I'll be back later.
Yeah, that's the part we don't tell our boss about what we're doing on our field
days. That's right. But that's what you guys actually get a day off to do those things, don't you?
We do, like today. So you build sources, just make calls, walk into places in person, and it's very helpful down the line for building those sources.
You were always good with the new reporters, though. I remember reporters saying that.
Yeah. I look, these guys got a job.
And he was mayor for 16 years.
Yeah, well, you were in, In 2003, how old were you?
I was three.
Ouch.
Good night,
Ouch.
Everybody.
Ouch. Anyway, that was the year I got elected. Green Bay, for whatever reason, it seemed like it had some turnover back then, right, Johnny?
Yeah.
I mean, every 2 years,
four years,
and people would go, I don't know, they'd maybe go to Milwaukee or Kansas City, bigger cities. But, you know, they had a job to do, and they were very respectful, and that's all we ask for. I mean, I don't care what you – I do care what you report, but as long as you're – respectful, I think people are pretty inviting. And are you finding that with politicians here? What do you cover?
Absolutely,
that?
Yeah. I think people are there. They'll try to give us something to put on the air, which
right.
is all we ask for. And I think that they realize that, you know, transparency. It sounds worse when you give us a no comment. Like,
yeah.
at least say your side of the story, and people will respect that, even if it's not necessarily what they want to
yeah.
hear.
And I think, you know, it's mutual, right? We got a job to do, so do you. And I think, you know, I mean, you seem like a nice guy, and I think people will be honest with you, but you're right. I mean, you got to report on a story. What are you excited about coming up? I mean, you got some huge things coming up, right? You got the NFL draft, you got the RNC, plus, you know, there's a lot of new businesses coming this way.
Right, yeah. And as an NBC station, we've got the Olympics in a couple weeks.
That's
so
right.
Keeping an eye on the local Wisconsin people that are competing there. An election. I mean, I've never lived in a purple state in my life. So having a national, you know, election in while I'm working here, I think is great. So lots to come. Packer season is right around the corner, so we're excited about the start of training camp, excited about covering high school football. I feel like all those milestones are coming up for me, and I'm excited to cover all of them.
Next time you have a chance, maybe we have a beer or something like that, we'll talk about that UWGB Syracuse game in March of 1994. We got some bad calls
when you
right
say
in the stretch.
The whistle was not going to the Phoenix.
It was
in that
not
one.
Going to the Phoenix. Yeah. I even got the video. I'll bring out the video.
Oh, jeez.
I got yeah, quite a VHS.
Meet him in a bar. We're not going to. Yeah. Okay.
Ben Berlowski was called for a charging foul on a shot that should have been a 3-point. Oh, my God.
I can't believe that. Don't get me. Yeah. That's,
yeah.
I didn't even watch. I didn't know what he was talking about. But
oh, Carl Winter, great having you here.
Thanks.
Carl,
glad
this is fun. We're going
to
get you back here because we're all about local Oshkosh, Appleton, what's going on. And yeah, thanks for, I like the way you're, like I said, your business is structured. I think it's going to get the local stuff up front.
And I'll see you on some Friday nights with Showdown.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. Thanks
Sounds
for having me, guys.
Great. Carl Winter, NBC 26, Neighborhood Focus. He was just great. Kristen Leidy, comedian, Comedy Fest in Green Bay. Coming up, back after this.
The Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor, here on a Good Look at Tuesday morning. Special thanks to Carl Winter, also Jason Lorge was with us today, and now Kristen Leidy, comedian from Green Bay, joining us. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing so good. Thank you for having me.
Good. You know, I told you, I don't want to ask too many questions ahead of time because it's fun learning about somebody sometime with a career like yours, but a Preble grad who at some point in your life decided, I'm going to make people laugh for a living. How did that come about?
Yeah, well, actually, I've always loved stand-up comedy. And, you know, it's kind of a duality with my day job because for the past 15 years, I've been a union organizer and no one calls us because they're having a good day. So it was kind of like figuring out, okay, how can I build joy and do this in a way that fulfills me and also, you know, make people happy? And then I was living in Chicago and I went to an open mic and thought, well, I can do that.
Jim admitted something this morning, though. What did you admit, Jim?
What's that?
You did a
one
comedy
of the
show.
Scariest things you've ever done.
That's Ooh. Tough. I mean, that is tough to do, right?
Yeah.
It was more improv. The mayor of
DePere
and I had to do a comedy skit at, it was a 24-hour comedy festival.
Oh, I remember those.
Remember
yeah.
that? And
yeah.
that was, I think it was a fun, it was a fundraiser. I don't know what it was for. And Mike, Mayor Walsh and I did a comedy skit. And thank God we were on it like 2:30 in the morning or something like that.
Do you remember any of your lines from the skit? Can you perform some
for us? I was in jail.
For us?
I know that. And I threw out a name of somebody that I didn't care for that. Anyway, I guess it was fun.
Todd, you see a trend here? He was in a movie, played a prisoner,
yeah.
does a comedy skit, plays somebody in jail.
That is true.
Yes. Were you ever in any movies? He was in two movies.
Oh, no, not yet.
But he didn't see either one. He walked out of both of them.
Diva.
Give her the bell.
Oh, that hurt. Okay. Hey, want to just ask, we want to talk about what you're doing now, but at Preble, were you like the class clown?
No.
No?
They never are they? The comedians.
Class clowns, Mike Birbiglia has a great bit about how the class clown is usually just kind of a bully.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. No, I was very quiet and honestly, I skipped school a lot. Yeah, kind of a...
Something we all have in common.
Yeah, you know.
Okay, so you went from Preble.
Mm-hmm.
To Chicago?
Yeah. Well, I went to college a little later in life. You know, a relative of mine had an accident in a mill, and that made me want to do the work I do.
Oh, you didn't.
So I went to school at UWGB, shout out. And 2008, I moved down to Chicago and was there for 10 years. Moved back home. Well, no, a little less because I moved home 2017.
That's quite the leap, though. When you want to do comedy, you go to Chicago. I mean, that's the mecca pretty much, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It is pretty much like you are there because you love it. Like I did open mics where it was pretty much like me and four other comedians.
It's like either bring it strong or get the heck off the stage.
Oh, yeah. And you know, like in those rooms where it is just dead silent and everyone is judging you with daggers in their eyes. Like if you can make them laugh, like, you did it.
The guy we had on before was in Pepperdine. I used to live in West Covina. We'd go to the Comedy Store a lot because I think on Wednesdays it was like free. You could just go in. And you just, some of them, you just hope they make it. But some of them, it's like, find something else. You know, tell me about that, though. When did you know that, look, I can do this? Because I think, I was telling Johnny earlier when we knew you were coming on that it's one of those things that looks easier than it is. It just does. And it's tough. I was talking about a friend of mine that was on a cruise ship and he is super funny and, got up there and just, he said it was like the worst experience of his life. And I was like, oh, sorry to hear that. But how did you know this was for you?
Yeah, I feel kind of blessed in that way because my first open mic, you know, they always tell you for your first time, make sure you bring five friends. So you got smiling faces looking back at you that you know they love you.
That's good advice.
Yeah. And I got huge laughs in a way that just like filled my soul and made me 100% addicted for the rest of my life.
I was going to say, you get addicted to it, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. It's the, that people pleaser.
But I'm going to tell you this already, though. You're in 5 minutes here. You're already more personable and quick and everything like that. Than many of the comics that Murph and I used to get on like Thursday mornings, because they would be out, you know, they'd do their thing and then they would party till whatever and they'd get up at 5 and drive. And you know what? They didn't want to be funny. So there is a certain, there's a switch. You have to turn it on and off sometimes, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The biggest secret about most comedians is that we're not fun.
Your career is growing.
Yeah, it's you know,
pretty cool. Tell us about what is it, album, CD? What do you guys call that?
November of 2023, I recorded my first album at Altercation Comedy Fest in Austin, Texas. It was amazing. It was probably like the best night of my life. And then I partnered with Burn This Records, which is out of Los Angeles, run by Brandy Posey, who's going to be coming for the festival I'm putting together. She took me on and released the album, and it got picked up by Sirius XM, and I just released it on vinyl this week.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So
how many people
cool.
have you wanted to punch in the face who said, tell me something funny?
Don't make me laugh.
You're a comedian? Tell me a joke. And
right.
I usually just say, are you paying me?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
I like that. Tell me about your festival. You're hosting this festival, or is it? Tell me about the festival.
Yeah,
that's
so
up.
Actually, the weekend of July 18th through the 21st, we have two festivals in Green Bay. We have the GB UFO Fest, which is going to be primarily anchored at the Tarleton Theater. That's going to be music.
Right over here.
We love him.
Yeah. That's going to be music. And Tom Smith, Pierre Jacques, who run that, they asked me if I would curate a little comedy
portion.
We
had Pierre on this show.
Oh, yeah. He's hilarious. Yeah. So we'll be doing a half hour of comedy on Friday and Saturday, and that's just to kind of test the waters at the fest to see if comedy will grow there, and I really hope it does. I love Tom and Pierre. I've been going to shows in Green Bay since I was like 12, so it's really cool to like partner with music, bring comedy in that. And then we also, the same weekend, have the Green Bay Fringe Festival, which I'll be hosting three shows at the Green Bay Community Theater. So I'm kind of like tons of comedy and art.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. We need it in Green Bay. Like we're sitting here talking about, you know, entertainers, comedians we've seen over the years, but we're both scratching our heads, all three of us, like, well, is there a brick and mortar place anymore in Green Bay? And there really isn't, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately, there is not a traditional club in Green Bay, which I think we're ready for it. I think it would be a lot of fun. If there's anyone out there with a lot of money that wants to call me, let's do it.
Well, if we can make a lot of money, I mean, that's, there's people with money. The reason people have money is because they make money. And I think it's been tried, but I think comedy is at a just a better level. I asked you in break, and I want you to talk a little bit about your favorite comedian, and we obviously have ours. I mean, what do you think of a guy like Bill Burr or Jim Gaffigan? I mean, I've seen both those guys live. And
Jim Gaffigan is someone I deeply admire because he's just like he appeals to everyone and yet is still authentically himself.
Oh, man, he's funny.
He is.
I watch his little clips and it's just like, and again, you say, oh, that could be easy, but he does it so well. I visited my wife's family in Wisconsin, had a nice time. I stayed there for 8 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just got that great, subtle sort of
and
thing.
And it's clean, and it is really, really funny. But, who do you like? Or did you follow anybody, or is there a mentor? How does that all work?
I'd say JT Habersad out of Austin, Texas, founder of the Altercation Fest, has been such a good friend to me and always really believed in me and pushed me. Like, I don't know if I would have done that album if he wouldn't have said, like, hey, do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then Maria Bamford from Minnesota is such a huge influence on me. Like the way she just puts everything out on the table and shares everything about her life and makes it funny, even the stuff that's kind of like depressing maybe. I think, you know, there's community to build there if people realize like, oh, I'm not alone in this. Let's laugh about it.
Comedy is interesting. I don't want to sound sexist, but is there more men? Is that a male dominant?
Why do you ask?
Didn't sound sexist at all.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, there's a lot of shows that are all male lineups, and you know, it's harder as a woman, definitely. Like you have to be on 100% of the time. You can never fail because then it's like, oh, all women aren't funny because she wasn't funny that one Tuesday night we saw her.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot more judgment.
But there are some women that have an attitude of basically bleep you. Here's what I'm gonna do. And who's the lady's name that hosted Tom Brady's roast? Oh, I can't think of her name. Do you think?
Oh, yes. The blonde?
Yeah.
Oh, she's so funny.
Oh, Nikki Glaser, yes. I imagine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But her attitude is just, I'm going to shock you. I'm going to do whatever. Mm-hmm. What do you do about it? That's
kind
of her attitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not entirely familiar with her work.
But you know what I think is cool, too? Like, we'd get some of the comedians on Murphy's show. And they'd be good, and they'd be performing here. And then all of a sudden, they get a bit part in a movie. Then all of a sudden, another one. And then all of a sudden, they'd be hosting their own TV show. So there is no one set way to do things in this business, is there? It's just like every opportunity you get, you make the most of that one and hope somebody notices and you move on.
Absolutely. That's kind of what was exciting about moving home to Green Bay. Like I was leaving a huge art scene in Chicago, obviously. But I really wanted to build something here and something unique. And I'm excited to be back home and doing that.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
It is. That's great that you're doing that. And I want to talk a little bit about, maybe we come back after the break, but if a student wants to be a comedian, I got to believe that's a tough field. I don't know that. I'm not a comedian.
Do you have any of your students ever?
No, I teach business classes and we talk about a lot of things, but I'm going to bring this up and because you're in a business, you're an entrepreneur, right?
I mean, yeah, I'm not very good at it, but the selling part, but the funny part, I think.
Well,
I'm
especially
pretty good
now,
at.
Though, it seems like you're an entrepreneur trying to, you know, if you put these things together, I think that sounds awesome.
Well, yeah. I put my vinyl out, and then a friend of mine, you know, I put the picture on Facebook, and then a friend of mine said, do you have a link to buy it, Kristen? I was like, oh, yeah, I should make that.
That could help.
Yeah, you might want to take my class. It's introductory to business.
Are you okay with family members coming to your show? Or you know?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Because there are some people that they said, Rob, I can't think of Rob. He's from Appleton. He used to come around all the time. But his dad was a professor.
Oh, Breckenridge.
Yes.
Yes,
great guy.
Yes.
And he'd talk about when he'd be doing a show, and there's his dad who was professor of theology or something at Lawrence sitting in the stands who had, like, no sense of humor. And there'd be, well, Rob, how's it going along in this, shall we call it a career? Or, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Rob is great. Love Rob.
With all your performances, I'm curious, is there a group that you get a little bit more anxious about, like fellow comedians? You know, some of us, you know, when we talk to a group of mayors, they'd get a little bit more nervous. And nervous is the right word, but yeah, I'd be more prepared probably than talking, you know what I mean? Like, how is it in comedy, or is everybody the same out there to the audience? Do you vision them? They tell you to vision them all naked or something? Or how does that work to come to it?
You know, I used to really care. I used to like really analyze what they're laughing at, who they are. Are they couples? Are they mostly men? And now I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to do my thing and feel confident in it. And
that's
I
awesome.
Feel like that's more embraced than like trying to make a set for the audience.
Yeah. Do you ever, when you go out on stage like that, and you've got your, do you ever change like halfway through because of the audience?
Uh-oh. Absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
that's what I mean.
Yeah, there is, like Wisconsin, we love dark humor. We love it. And when I'm down south, I've noticed they do not.
Okay.
So like I'll pull back on maybe some references to serial killers or, you know, things that Wisconsin crowds.
I know, it's getting a good laugh up here.
John loves it. Tell us more. Tell me more.
But that's what I was asked. Others tell me that, too. Again? Sometimes you almost have to be like a quarterback in a football game and call some audibles because you just feel the room after a little bit.
Yeah, I have some choose-your-own-adventure paths that I go on depending on how they react to certain things.
Yeah.
And your material, where do you write in the mornings or where do you get your...
I wish I had a schedule or a practice of writing, but I'll always be like just... you know, in the middle of a meeting or something, and it'll just be like, zap, oh, that's funny. And I'll make a note on my phone, and then it becomes something I'll work on during a show.
I think it's physically impossible to sit down and write something really funny.
It is. I know people that do it, and I just don't know how.
Because I've had so many speak engagements, and they said, hey, make this real funny. And I cannot do it.
Mm-mm.
How do you know when you've crafted that particular joke or that story perfectly, when you're finally satisfied with it?
It sounds incredibly egotistical, but it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's ready.
It's got to be. That's cool stuff.
That's cool. Yeah. Do you have like a, and I think what Todd was saying, you don't have like a test group, brothers, sisters, close friends, you run it by them, or is it just like, I think this is funny. The audience is going to think it's funny.
I do have a few best friends, and I'll just sneak it into conversation,
and
they'll laugh, and then they'll look at me like, I know what you're doing.
You're using us.
I'm sorry, Jackie.
For free.
You got to buy. You're buying the next round.
Kristen Leidy, comedian, Comedy Fest in Green Bay. We're going to talk more about that. It's just funny. Jim and I were talking about you folks have as much courage as anybody there is.
Boy.
You know, thank you.
What was your old saying, Jim?
Don't
the guy, the guy that gives the eulogy would rather be the other guy. What's the...
Right? They're so afraid to get up and talk in front of people. Eulogy at a wake or something, you'd rather be the guy you're eulogizing. You know?
I mean, way easier.
But I give you a lot of credit. I mean, I want to talk about your beginning career and how you got to where you are now. We'll do that when we get back.
Absolutely. Kristen Leidy, back after this. You wind up playing. Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here with Kristen Leidy, winding it up on a beautiful Tuesday morning. Well, Kristen, talk one more time about the festivals you're helping work on coming up here in Green Bay in a very short time.
Yeah.
In a very short time, we're going to have these festivals is what I mean.
Yeah, I'm very excited to bring comedians from my record label, Burn This Records, out of Los Angeles. And the comedians are from all over the country. You know, we've got folks from Denver, Omaha, Indianapolis, Bloomington, Los Angeles. They'll be at the Fringe Festival, which those shows will be at the Green Bay Community Theater Thursday, July 18th at 9:30, Friday, July 19th at 10, Saturday, July 20th at 8:30. You want to get your tickets now. And then we'll also be having shorter sets at the GB UFO Fest, which will be at the Tarleton. That'll be Music Fest mainly with comedy segments from 5 to 5:30 on Friday and Saturday.
All right. Todd, we'll be promoting that on our Facebook and everything like that.
You bet.
Absolutely.
Oh, and buy my album. Learning business. Yes.
We've got to buy. You got the link. What's the website?
KristenLeidy.com.
And there's a link to purchasing your album.
Yes.
What we talk about.
By the way, when I saw that name, I said, I know that name from somewhere. Tell me who your grandfather was.
Yeah, my grandfather was Dick Leidy.
Oh, wow. The runner.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
That's great. There's
like a legendary name.
Absolutely. Park named after him.
Yeah.
So, well, good.
Great guy.
Yeah. With your album, we talk once in a while. We've had some music store people on. Favorite album covers. What's on your cover? You?
Oh, my album cover, I'm so excited. It's drawn by Christy Rode, who is someone who's done a lot of artwork in like punk rock bands and zines. Someone I've admired for like 25 years. So I reached out to them and I was just like, I love you. And will you do my cover? And I wasn't even expecting a response. And she replied like, absolutely, I'd love to.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's a drawing of me with kind of like a lot of the stuff I talk about drawn behind me.
Cool.
All right.
Berg, how did that feel the first time you touched it, picked it up in your hands?
It felt so good, like unreal. It just felt like the culmination of 11 years of work.
Oh, there
nice.
It is. Oh, that's
yeah,
awesome.
That's it.
I do like that.
I see a nun in the background. With
Catholic
yeah,
school.
Yeah, that is a nun.
Yes. Boxing gloves on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see that. Which Catholic school did you go to?
St. Peter and Paul.
Oh, there you go.
Yep, those are the guys.
Disassociation vacation.
Yeah, for when you need a little me time. You know.
I love it.
That's great. So your comedy, you know, the kind of categories, you know, like music, right? Blues, jazz.
Mm-hmm.
What is your comedy like? And I'm not say dirty or clean, but you got to admit, my two favorite comedians are kind of on opposite ends, right? Bill mm-hmm. Burr and Gaffigan.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're both really funny. What kind of comedy do you have?
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's not particularly clean. Like, I'm not a corporate comic. I don't do corporate gigs. I would say I'm more niche, you know? I'm kind of a weirdo. I like to talk about Catholic school and getting sober and... sometimes politics, you know, kind of all over, just like daily life experiences here in the Midwest.
It's the best kind.
And I like politics, but didn't you guys get a little bit, even like Jay Leno, like the caution, that's difficult to get into politics because there are like two sides, especially in this time, and there wasn't mm-hmm. back in the day. But you're okay getting into that?
I talk about my work sometimes. I will do... Like, there are shows like Laughing Liberally in Milwaukee where I know I can go full tilt. And then there's shows, you know, where I know, like, okay, they're not going to be into that. Yeah. But
I love political comedy, so just I'm going to listen to that.
Yeah.
I just think it's there's a lot of material out there because there's a lot of clowns.
Yeah, and I think, you know, my comedy comes from a place of understanding that we all want to be respected and we all want to make a living wage.
Right.
So I think that foundation really bridges people. I've had there's some Republican chairperson from Illinois like pull me aside and be like, "You're a good one." Like, I don't know what that means.
You know, you said making a living. How long did it take before you could pay bills by telling jokes?
Oh, I wouldn't say we're there yet. I like healthcare in my house and European vacations.
Gas
so,
in your car.
Yeah.
But
I do have a lot of friends that do that. And, you know, I admire them, but I like to be pampered.
But it's funny, like I was telling you, and I'm trying to think of the name of the comic we used to have come in. Tall guy, real curly hair. He got into a little bit of trouble. But he was in the...
Oh, I know this person.
You know who I mean?
Yeah.
He was
T.J. Miller.
Yes, yeah. T.J. Miller. And he went from just this kid coming in to all of a sudden he's in movies and mm-hmm. starring in a very popular TV show. Handsome issues that... Did it, and, right?
John, you're making her laugh. So
but I'm just saying it was really interesting seeing
that
this transformation.
Because
it's like 5 or 6 years of him coming in mm-hmm. and just an... It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You got that coming up. You got that coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool to see the transgression.
Yeah. Sometimes the industry just shines on you.
Right.
And things start happening.
And what about that? Bill Burr talks about that when he was a comedian, he's not that old, but he just all these call them nooners, but had to go to all these college campuses and do three or four shows a day. And now people can kind of get on this YouTube and become a pretty famous comedian. And
without, hey, Todd. These kids, they get on this YouTube. They got on this thing. These kids, they get on this goddamn YouTube. They're on their own goddamn day. They won't even put down the iPod. They're on that damn thing.
Anyway, a different distribution of comedy. That's what I was trying to say.
It is. And it's a hustle to keep up with TikTok, YouTube, get new material out there, get new content out there every week.
And get noticed by
it. I don't want to do that. I just want to be on stage and have fun.
Okay, one last plug. Mm-hmm. We're running out of time. We got about a minute and a half to go here. One more time, what can people expect at your great events you're putting together?
Oh, yeah. This week, or the weekend of July 18th to the 21st, you're going to see great comedians from all over the country, real DIY spirit, fun material, unique comedians you wouldn't have seen anywhere else. And we'll be at the Green Bay Community Theater with the Fringe Festival and the Tarleton for the GB UFO Festival. Get your tickets now.
This is going to sound terrible. Where's the Green Bay Community Theater?
Right down the block.
Right across the street from the Tarleton.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And how do people buy tickets?
We have a website, Google Green Bay Fringe Festival and GB UFO Fest. You can get tickets right there.
I do want to say both those venues, the audience is pretty close up, and it's part of the show.
Definitely.
You know, and I think that's cool about both those venues is that you're not sitting far away at some theater thing with all these pillars in front of you. You're right there with the comedian or with the show. So I'm gonna hit it.
It's not like playing the Widener.
No, sometimes you can't even see their faces. I know. They're like an inch tall.
Right. This will be fun. I'm looking forward to that. And I like comedy, so I will see you out there. And like Johnny said, we'll promote this.
Awesome.
We'll
thank
you. We'll put you guys in the front row so she can start roasting you.
That I won't do.
Very proud of the Preble Hornet. This is very cool.
Yes. All right, thank you.
Congratulations.
So much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Wow, phenomenal. Hope to come out and see you, Kristen. Thank you so very much for being here.
Thank you.
All right, take care. That pretty much brings a wrap to it. Mino and the Mayor back in tomorrow morning right here on 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS, and of course the Civic Media app. Have a great day. See ya!